Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now. That's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Again.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my word's my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his ladder, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers, and you can't hold us down. We hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did. I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
Money,
military.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, Master Teacher 33. And today is Saturday, March the 18th of 2017. And the time is 6:30 p.m. Central Time. As always, we've got another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got a little break in action. You know, we've been doing a series or the show before I went on vacation. So I'm back, refreshed, ready to rock and roll. The wife had to go to choir rehearsal, so that gave me some time to get in the show. I was biting at the bits, ready, because I really enjoy and I really love what I do. Because I don't really do anything, this is who I am. This is what I be. This is how I vibrate. This is how I oscillate. So I don't know anything else. This is the only thing I know how to be. So I need to make sure that you know how to be. So today, my brothers, before we jump back on the series that we've been talking about before I went on vacation, because before I left you, I was breaking down how to understand Romans 12:2, where we're talking about not putting new wine in old wineskins. And we were really breaking down how to break the pattern or the condition of programming that you're in. So we want to continue with that, but I want to take a break and just drop this message about self-diagnosis, self-medication, and self-healing. So contrary to popular belief, if you go on Google or if you go on any search engine and just type in, you know, how to self-medicate or how to self-diagnose yourself in any area, wealth, health, wisdom, or relationship, you're going to find there's going to be a lot of information that telling you why you should never, ever self-diagnose yourself. There are an immense amount of dangers that are involved from a psychological perspective when it comes to any type of self-diagnosis. There's a lot of medical dangers that are in place, and rightfully so, if you try to medically self-diagnose yourself as to what type of a medical injury that you may have. There's a lot of dangers involved when you try to self-diagnose yourself in the area of wisdom or ignorance or, let's say, like a mental disposition. Before I ever went and saw a shrink or a therapist or whatever, I had already self-diagnosed myself with the mental issues, if you want to call them that, that I have. So before I ever, years, a good 10 years before I ever talked to any professional person about any of my mental health issues, if you want to call them that, I call them mental health gifts. So my mental illness is my gift, just for me. So I've suffered from major anxiety. I suffer from bipolar disorder. I suffer from attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity disorder, schizophrenia, oppressive compulsive disorder. They told me that I, you know, that I had, I don't know what you want to call it, rare form of a mental disposition when it comes to my personality. Again, it was borderline personality disorder. Now, I watched the movie, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, and then I watched the movie, part two, 50 Shades Darker or whatever it's called, and I identify with, you know, the billionaire in that movie. And if I wasn't a six, if I wasn't saved, if I didn't have the ruling disposition, I'd be a billionaire already. So why am I not already a billionaire? Because I don't have that cutthroat mentality that you got to have to be a billionaire or a millionaire. What does that mean? To have, the Bible says, ruthless men retain wealth. Now, let me make sure you understand what that means. Because, again, we're talking about how do you self-diagnose yourself. There are different types of mental illnesses. There are different types of physical. There are different types of spiritual. But there is a technique that I've been using since birth that I highly recommend that I'm going to share with you. Because I was thinking today, I was on vacation. I was like, man, you know what? I've never really talked about my personal. I talked about all of my personal problems, but I never really talk about, like, how I get in and out of situations and, like, how I basically do things. Now, I'm going to recommend that you do things the way that I do, but I do recommend that you do things the way that God does. So what I'm going to do, I'm not going to give you my technique. I'm going to give you God's technique. So I'm going to tell you what the ruling disposition, what the Holy Spirit does, and how the Holy Spirit, again, allows you to go through this process of being able to self-diagnose yourself and stop lying to yourself and to self-medicate yourself and to self-heal yourself. Now, this is very, very important because the emphasis is on the self. So the first thing is you got to know that there's a problem. Now, the problem with identifying the fact that you have a problem is the problem. Let me say that again. So I'm sitting here, and if I'm going to self-analyze myself, I'm analyzing myself, and I know intuitively. Now, some people don't have this. That is intuition. So if you're listening to my voice right now, and you don't have intuition, how do you know you don't have intuition? You can do something and you don't feel shiznits. You don't have intuition. You are an organic portal. You are a soulless entity. Now, that's hope for you. I'm not telling you go jump off a bridge, but all I'm saying, if you can go right now and find a little kitten and do what some of these kids do. Find a stray cat or dog, string it up, you know, and hang it, mutilate it, you know, disembowel it, shoot it, use it for, you know, target practice. If you do that with an animal, then you don't have a soul. You're in an organic portal. Now, it's really easy. People try to make this into some big old mystical. I'm not talking about mischievousness behavior from a little kid. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about if you're a grown-ass man and you're a grown-ass woman and you still get your rocks off on hurting defenseless animals and defenseless people, you're an organic portal. This message is probably not for you. Nobody can help you except the big G. So you got to fall on your knees and ask God to give you a soul because you don't got one. So I'm not talking. If you're listening to this show and you don't have that, then that's, I can't help you. Like I told the knuckleheads in the prison, same thing. I'm talking to people who have souls, people who have a conscience, people who have a gut feeling, people who have an intuition, people who feel bad. Now, you may continue to do it, but you still feel bad. If you don't have that ability to feel bad, then you are an organic portal. You are a soulless entity. You are a psychopath. You are a sociopath. There is, you're a narcissist. There's a plethora. Now, a lot of people, I have all. There's like, I don't know how many traits of narcissism. I got all of them. I don't know how many traits there are of sociopath. I got all of them. I don't know how many traits there are of a psychopath. I got all of them. To me, that doesn't mean anything. See, a disorder that affects a person's ability to think, feel, and behave clearly. That's what I'm talking about today. Let me make sure you understand. Any type of a disposition, any type of a mental state that affects your ability to think, to feel, and to behave clearly. That's what I'm talking about. How do you address it? Let me make sure you understand. I don't care if it's a brain disorder. I don't care if it's a physical disorder. It's a mental disorder. I don't care what it is. If it is a condition, and this condition limits your ability to think and to feel and to behave in a particular manner. Now, I suffer from excessive thoughts that, like, I have, like, my thoughts just bum rush me. Now, there's a mental, they have a title for it, but I don't own none of that bullshitness. Again, that's part of how you diagnose, medicate, and heal yourself. Part one, diagnose. So in order to diagnose yourself, you already know. There is not a person listening to the sound of my voice that don't know that they got an issue with blank. The problem is that you don't know how to solve the issue that you have with blank. And so you sugarcoat it or you cope with the issue that you have with blank. Now, you know you got an issue, whether it's anger, whether you got an issue with overeating, whether you got an issue with lust, whether you got an issue with, hygiene. You know you got an issue. The thing that's interesting to me is that I've never met somebody who didn't already know what I told them. Never. I've never had a counseling session with somebody who didn't know after I told them what I see that they did not already know. I've never did a Dear Kinnear report for somebody and there was something positive trait or negative trait in the Dear Kinnear report that they didn't already know. They didn't know the severity of it, but they did know the existence of it. Two different things. So I know. When I read my Dear Kinnear report, it says I'm for the underdog. Hello. No shizness. That was not right. That wasn't news to me. When it said that I was a didactic, teacher, that I had the gift of gab, that I have the ability to charm and harm, do you think that was a revelation? There ain't nothing in the 500-page report that I've done for myself that I've read that is like a, whoa, I did not know that. I already know. So there is nothing that I can tell you about yourself that you don't already know. You already know what you're doing is wrong because you got what is called intuition. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, because a lot of people, because they don't listen to their intuition, they think they don't have an intuition. And big mistake. So to self-diagnose yourself, you simply listen to and you communicate with your multiple brains. Now, Most people don't understand that they got multiple brains. Most people don't understand that most of the organs inside of the body have the its own brain. Most people, again, don't really understand that the nucleus or the nucleus inside of some cells and the membrane on the outside of some cells is a brain. So you got, man, millions of brains. And they are all talking to you at the same time, telling you don't eat that Krispy Kreme donut, man. You're going to make us sick. And you just like, yeah, I'm going to eat it anyway. You have a gut feeling. You have instinct. You have a sense of knowing. You know, but you do it anyway. That's what we got to address. So the diagnosis part is easy. You can diagnose yourself. You know that you got an ego problem. Are you going to... You know that you got a compassion problem, or you know you got a money problem, or you know you got a hygiene problem, or you got a, or you know you got a listening problem, or you know you got a problem that when you get bored you don't know what to do with yourself, so you end up doing bad stuff. So don't ever let nobody tell you you can't self-diagnose yourself. Self-diagnosing yourself is just simply being in tune with yourself. But the problem is you are in tune with the flesh and not the self, not the spirit. So you have to be able to tune into all different facets of you. Now, the problem is you tuned into one part of you, but you're not tuned into the other part of you. So if you're like me, again, you have this compartmentalization aspect of yourself down. And what happened to you is that you've departmentalized yourself into so many little pieces that you've lost the real you. Meaning, like, I have a me that's the church me. I go when I go to church, I put on that hat, and I morph into a church guy, and I speak Christianese. That don't mean I got a mental disorder. That means I'm a freaking chameleon. That means that I've learned how to blend in. I can go to the hood right now. You can drop me off in any hood and in any country. Well, let me rephrase that. In America, and I will be fine. Nobody gonna steal my wallet. Ain't nobody gonna punk me. Ain't nobody gonna talk me into doing nothing. Nobody gonna take advantage of me. Ain't nobody gonna steal my cornbread. And ain't nobody gonna take my cookies. Guaranteed. Now you can take me to Cardiff by the sea. You can take me to Coronado. You can take me to La Jolla. You can take me to any fancy, high-dollar, multi-million-dollar neighborhood. Drop me off in there with a bunch of white folks and with my Caucasian brothers and sisters, and I can rub elbows with them, and I can speak Caucasianism, and I will fit in just fine. And I'll be one of the good old boys. And you would think that, damn, is that brother? You'd be like some of the people, some of my clients back in the day who thought I was white. Until they saw my pictures on Facebook. They said, dude, I thought you was a white guy. I really said, yeah, you sound white. I've had people tell me that. Now, it blows my mind. Like, I don't sound white. But I've had people tell me that. What does that mean, brothers and sisters? That means that I've learned exactly what you've learned. I've learned how to fake the funk. So when I go to church, I act Christianized. I understand the social code, the hidden code, and the social norm. It's called social behavioralism. And so the failure to understand what's real. So when I start to believe, as I kind of did, and when I was a young whippersnapper, that I was white, that's a mental problem. That when you need to lay on a sofa and you might want to go see somebody. When you start to believe that the person, the experiences, the thoughts, the reality that you have constructed through your speech and your behavior and your increased participation in the daily activities of the dream world, when you start to believe that, when you're in trouble. Because now you have difficulty separating reality from fiction. That's when you need psychotherapy. Now, Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, because this is what I did. You can hang around with people for so long that you think that you're like, you think that you're one of them. For example, I could go buy me a Marine Corps uniform from a local, you know, they sell from a, you know, from a local Goodwill shop. I can put on my Marine Corps uniform. I could watch Marine Corps movies. I could learn the difference between the ranks of, you know, of a private, corporal, sergeant, staff sergeant, gunnery sergeant, master sergeant, you know, top, you know, first lieutenant. I could learn everything. I could mimic, and I could go home base, and I could pass as a Marine. I could get my hair cut done. I could do anything to come off like a Marine. But if I don't go to boot camp, if I don't graduate, if I don't earn the right to be in the title of a Marine, I'm not a Marine. But since I earned the right to call myself a Marine, I went through boot camp. I got the pictures. I got the diplomas. I got the proof. I am a Marine. I ain't faking it. So if I walk up to you and look you in the eye and I tell you, simplify, devil dog, I ain't speaking no freaking Marine-ese, brother or sister. I've earned the title, but let's say I didn't. Let's say I walked up to you and I did the same thing, but Air Force. I don't know nothing about that. I was stationed on an Air Force base. I learned the basics. I could pass off as an airman, but I've never, ever wore nor been through any Air Force training. But I guarantee I could probably pull it off. Now, if I started to believe that I was an Air Force, then that's when I need some psychotherapy. So what I'm saying is that there may be somebody listening to the sound of my voice right now that you are being a nice guy, and you're not. Or you've been a tough guy, and you're not. Or you've been a Muslim, and you're not. Or you've been a Christian, and you're not. Or you've been a Satanist, and you're not. Or you being this, or you being that. You got on a hat. You've been wearing that hat for so long that now you've lied to yourself, and now you start to believe the own hype. That's dangerous. Now that, yeah, you might need medication for that. Who I'm talking to today is that I'm talking to people who know that you got a problem. The problem is you don't know how to fix it. And so now you got a little paranoia going on. You're going through a little psychosis. Because now you got a serious problem that you don't know how to address. And let me just give you, I got a plethora of examples that I can use, but I don't want to waste your time. I need to get you through these three steps. So first you got to diagnose. And the way that you diagnose your problem is with your intuition. Now, everybody and their grandmother is going to tell you this because they don't want you to know. So like everybody and the grandmother tells you that people die from cancer, sickle cell, this, that, and other. There's no such thing. All of those diseases them suckers weren't around in the 1800s. You know, everything that everybody died from today never existed. Didn't exist. And if you go further enough back, even tooth decay and all this stuff, cavemen, how come they didn't have tooth problems? So everything that happened to you is the result of your diet. It's the result of the air that you're breathing. It's the result of the water. It's the result, again, your food intake. Everything that's happening to you today is preventable. Everything that's happening to you today is preventable. No one should die. We die because we are programmed to die by this thing that's on our DNA called a telomere. Now, I could go through and I could prove all of this to you, but that's another study for another time. All I'm simply saying is that all your problems are preventable. Now, you got a mental problem right now, totally preventable. Now, I understand, just like old boy in 50 Shades of Grey, and, you know, in part two that I just watched, you know, hey, he had a rough childhood. He was beat up. He was, you know, cigarette. He was molested. Everything that happened to him and that in the 50 Shades of Grey happened to me. I went through the same crap that he went through. So that's why I can relate to the character in the movie. And so I had a problem. My problem was this, and my problem is this. This is what I did. My problem was that I lost myself. When I got to the point where somebody said, hey, man, I couldn't feel nothing. I'm going to be honest with you guys. People say that, like people said that they was in love, and people tell me that I love you, I would say I love you back, but I mimicked. I was a mimicker. I was a con artist. I was a psychopath. I was a sociopath. I had no feelings. I couldn't feel shiznits. To this day, I had no empathy and no sympathy. I had to learn how to get it, and that's what I need to teach you. I need to teach you because there are people that I'm learning that they've lied to themselves like I did for so long that they think that they what they're feeling is authentic love, and it's not. Because it's not their authentic self, because they're not there. You're not there. How do I know you're not there? The reason I know that you're not there is because you keep making the same mistakes over and over again. It's impossible to be authentic and then do the same things over again because you got a soul. So your soul is possessed by entity that you created to protect you. Now, I was getting my ass whooped. Y'all know the story. So when I was a little kid and when Sister Seals was with me, I didn't know what to do. When I was hungry, I didn't know what to do. I was a little kid, so I had to say, I couldn't steal. My conscience wouldn't let me take something that didn't belong to me. And so I had to develop a character, a guy. The way Beyonce got Sasha Fierce, I had to come up with this dude that would go into a store and steal candy when I was a little kid because I was hungry. And I had to rationalize it in my brain because my authentic self said, don't do that. Your mama didn't raise you like that. But this alter ego that I created, said, I'm hungry. I don't give a bump what nobody said. I'm going to get me something to eat. And that's what I did. Then I created this other dude who walked around and made sure that every time he thought I could sense this was all learned behavior, just like an old boy in the movie. And so I knew when somebody was a pedophile. So I got touched inappropriately all the time when I was a little kid. I got molested and all that stuff. And so I knew, Uncle so-and-so. So when Uncle so-and-so came around, I did anything to get a whooping. I would go in the hall, just from tabs up, and say, boy, what's wrong with you? I would get a whooping, get your butt out, go to your room. Got me away from Uncle so-and-so. Because I would rather get beat with a belt than have some grown man molesting me. So I learned. So I created an alter ego. And then for every adversity in my life, I created a dude to handle it. And then when I grew up, I didn't need these dudes no more, but I couldn't get rid of them. Now they were here. And then I lived with these dudes for so long, and these dudettes. I lost me. And so when it came time for me to fall in love and somebody said, look me in the eye and say, I love you, I was like, okay, which one are they talking to? Now, this was going on in my brain as a little kid. I can remember when I was 13 years old, man, the first time, that I had a sexual act with a I was 13, this lady was 26, 28, said, I'm going to teach you how to be a boy. I mean, how to be a man. I had already had a sexual experience when I was like 6 or 7, even though I was just fondled. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. Because when that happens to you, how do you process it? A 6 or 7-year-old kid can't process why Uncle so-and-so or Sister so-and-so or this person is touching him. So I don't know. I didn't know how to process it. I didn't know what to do. There was no, when my mama died, nobody came up to me. No bereavement counselor came up to me and put their arms around me. They left me in the car by myself. And I saw my mom in the box. And I was like, I didn't know what to do with that. What do I do with it? I didn't know what to do with it. So my brain filed it away, and it called, and this little dude came, hey, let's go play basketball. So I went outside and played. I didn't cry. So I learned not to cry. So all through growing up, I never cried. I didn't start crying until I became an adult. So I had to diagnose that. I had to find it. I could go get a shrink, lay on somebody's sofa, but I got trust issues. So do most people who got psychological issues. The number one problem is you don't trust nobody, including yourself, because you lost yourself. So what I had to do is I had to peel back all of the layers and all of these entities that I created and called up and conjured up. None of them suckers wanted to leave. So I had to find my authentic self. Now, I don't know if you have found your authentic self, your authentic voice, but you got to find it. You got to find your authentic self and your authentic voice. Your authentic voice and your authentic self, you're going to cry all the time. Men, this is how you know you found your authentic self and your authentic voice. When you have this ability to tap into your soul, when you tap into the things, the little things in life. Now, the number one thing that you have to do is to get rid of the alter ego, but it ain't going nowhere. So you got to know that when you've gotten rid of the alter ego, that's the alter ego lying to you. So right now, you're telling me that, Brother Will, I'm authentic. Bullshitness. How do I know that you're authentic? Because you can still do stuff and you don't feel bad. How do I know? See, let me tell you how you know that you're authentic. You know when you are authentic. Now, I cheated on my first wife so many times I lost count. during this hour, I remarried and was doing the exact same thing again. And so my wife asked me during our trip just now, like, okay, how do I know I can trust you, man? You told me that you weren't talking to her ex and you were still talking to her. You told me this, you told me that, and I'm just supposed to take your word for it now because you had a freaking epiphany? You got a stroke of morality? You've been cheating all your life. Now, this is a valid question. And I need you to ask yourself this question. So you're a wife beater, punching women in the face all your life. Now, you find this beautiful woman, you're like, baby, I'm not going to never punch you in the face. Really, what have you done to guarantee that you're not going to punch this woman in the face? Nothing. You just got a word. And as soon as she pisses you off, you're going to punch her in the face. So what have I done to guarantee that when I get bored and I'm sitting at home like by myself like I'm doing right now, and my wife is gone, I could call anybody. I could go out. I could be on Girls Gone Wild. I could be, you know, hey, I had porn problems. I had all these problems. Where did all those problems go? I diagnosed myself. I medicated myself. I healed myself. How did I do that? I became authentic. How did I become authentic? I got empathy and sympathy. How did I get empathy and sympathy? I got empathy and sympathy by asking God for it. I got empathy and sympathy by putting myself in somebody else's shoes. I got empathy and sympathy by writing down what I called again. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But what you need, brother, what you need, sister, is a book. What you need is something that you can. I got to see mine visually every day. This is me. I have a big board on my wall. It's like a big white poster board on my wall. That is a calendar. 5 blanks on that calendar. I have to fill in those 5 blanks on that calendar in each areas of wealth, health, wisdom, or relationship. Now, some psychologists call it journaling. You can call it a journal. You can call it whatever you want to call it. Now, I was doing this way before these journals and vision boards and mind movies. Now, again, this is what I've done. So in this journal, I write down what have I done today that benefits somebody else and it doesn't benefit me at all. What have I done? Especially now, right now, I've done all this stuff in the other 3 areas, and I became authentic in the area of wealth. That's why I can charge $5,000 for my program right now and think about charging $10,000. Because now I went through and I wrote down everything that I did in the area of wealth that had value and had worth that benefited me, and it benefited other people more than it benefited me. I went back through my childhood, and I would highly recommend you take out a piece of paper in the area of wealth, if you haven't done this already. If you need to self diagnose yourself in the area of wealth, and you need to medicate yourself and heal yourself. You diagnose yourself. How do you diagnose yourself? I'm not wealthy. How do you know you're not wealthy? You got more bills than money. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that you got a job, you got money, and you throw your money away. And that's another problem. I'm talking about you were like me. I was my first marriage. I had a job. I had 5 kids. My wife didn't work, and I was making money, but we didn't have the money to pay the bills and buy food and house. Okay, I got a problem. I need to diagnose why, what's in my self-image that I see that doesn't say you are worthy. Now, you guys remember, my core imprint that I found after going through this process, at the bottom was this statement. Now, it took me years, and I had to ask myself the why question 7 times to find this core imprint that says, you are not worthy. That was the demon. That was the disposition. That was the mindset. That was the ruling entity that was sitting there that I had to diagnose. It says that you do not deserve to be loved. Now, I can tell you why. Now, everybody who already know my story, you already know. So I know you're tired of hearing it. So if you grew up like me, damn straight you got a problem with love. If you got abused by your own, if your mother gives somebody else a pipe to beat you with, and look and don't help your own mother, if you can walk through with your biological father can see you as a child homeless on the street and pass you in the grocery store and walk past you and don't even say, hi, boy, yeah, you're going to have some serious self-esteem problems. So I know where I got them from. So I need to, but What do I do with them, brother? What did I do with them, sister? I had no self-worth. I didn't see that I was deserving of love. So if I don't love myself, how the hell am I going to love anybody else? So it starts with me. And you looking outside yourself and you blaming your wife, you're blaming the white man, you're blaming the blue man, you're blaming the green man, you're blaming your neighbor. It's you, brother. It's you, sister. So until you sit yourself down and look yourself in the mirror and you go back and you find out what damaged you, who damaged you, you go call them up and say, hey, you know, everybody that damaged me is dead already. I can't go back and get Sister X. They found her body chopped up into so many little pieces up in Austin, Texas, they can't even freaking find her. They have to use dental records to identify, so she's dead. I can't go back to my grandmother and say, Big Mama, you know, when you called me, you know, stupid and alcoholic and lazy and no good for nothing, and when you told me you're going to slap me so hard you're going to dry my blood up, that affected me. I can't go and talk back to her. My grandmother is dead. So what do I do, brother? What do I do so I keep walking around here living a life of poverty? The devil is a lie. So I had to find worth and value in myself. And how did I find it? I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I went back and I said, hey, how did you get at 13? We put all your stuff in a pillowcase and you left with nowhere to stay. How did you get the gumption to do that? Most people would have stayed there and took the abuse. But you told your father, you ain't putting your hands on me no more, homie. If you do, I'm going to put a bullet in your head. And instead of putting a bullet in your father's head, you packed your shitness and you left. How'd you do that? And then where'd you go when you left? How'd you find yourself? How did you exist? How did you take care of yourself from freaking 13 till you graduated when you was 18 and went into the Marine Corps? How did you get into the Marine Corps where you couldn't even freaking read and write? I blew my knee out playing football, and I went to take the physical test. I couldn't even do it. I had to fake it. My knee was gone. Both ligaments was gone. How did I do that? So you mean to tell me I'm a failure? No, all of these, and then I went back and I listed all of my successes, all of the business that I've started, all of the jobs that I've had, all the money that I've made. I bought over $1 million worth of real estate with no money down and no credit by following Wade Cook and Tom Vu's system. And a dude by the name of Joe Land. I went to New Mexico, man, and had two Cadillacs. Police unit where the police department was paying for me to stay. How in the world did I do that? Became the first African-American police officer in the freaking state. I mean, in the city that I was a police officer in. So how did I do that? If I'm such a failure, if nobody loves me, how did I get a woman? How do I have five kids? So my brain was lying to me. Now, my mother may not have loved me. My father may have not loved me, but somebody loves me. And now that I found out after talking to my biological father what his father did to him, he didn't have a snowball chance in hell of loving me or anybody else. So I had to diagnose myself, brother, and I used my intuition. And everybody and their grandmother going to tell you don't do it. And I'm telling you, as God is my witness, that's the only way you're going to solve your problems, because nobody knows you but you and the God that created you. So you, if you want to know the purpose of the thing, don't ask another thing. If you want to know the purpose of the thing, you ask the freaking creator of the thing. So I highly encourage you, get on your knees, stand up, go in your closet, go outside, go into the woods. I don't care what you do, but you need to have a conversation with God. And you need to tell God, you made me, so you know what's wrong with me, and I need you to tell me. I don't trust nobody else, no reverend, no doctor, no bishop, you. If you are God, if you claim to be God, if you are not, this is how I talk to God. I challenge him because the Bible tells me to come boldly to the throne of grace, so I do it. So I ask God, what's wrong with me? I need you to tell me what's wrong with me. And that's what he told me. You don't love yourself. You don't see no worth and no value in yourself. That's why you ain't got no money. Because your self-worth determines your net worth. Since you ain't got no self-worth, you have no net worth. So what did I do? I build up my self-worth. Now, I'm borderline arrogant and cocky. Because I see a lot of worth and value in me. But I didn't used to. How did I do it? All right, number one, I found by asking myself those seven whys. Then I medicated myself by writing down my successes. I don't care if you only got one success financially. Did you get a job? Okay, that's a success. Did you graduate from high school? That's a success. Did you ever win a spelling bee contest? Did you ever win a award? Anything that you won, anything positive, write it down. And then read it to yourself every day. Medicate, self-medicate yourself. That's how you self-heal yourself. And then I got to the point and I said, you know what? I see value in my products, in my services, in my books. I know my stuff works because it helped me. I got two daughters. I just posted on Facebook. My daughter up in Dallas got her own bakery following exactly what I tell you. And she has her own fashion line called Lola Ray. They got another daughter up in Dallas doing the same thing. She got her own mobile dance studio. Doing great. I got my son down here, got his own little rap thing, got his own equipment, doing his own stuff. Oh, I got another son, just a freaking, he got a full ride scholarship at UT Austin. The biggest, the best college in the whole state of Texas. Then I got another daughter down here that's a sophomore. All my children are doing great. So I can't be too much of a loser. And that's just one area. Now, brothers, so let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. Because you got to sit down, you got to do exactly what I did. You got to say to yourself, why does this problem exist in my life? You have to ask questions. Now, let me make sure you understand, because this is how you diagnose yourself. You got to realize that your instincts are from God. Your sixth sense is from God. That's called spiritual discernment. That's called, again, the Ruach and the Pneuma. That's called the Holy Spirit. And you got to trust it. Right now, you don't. Right now, your ego is sitting in the seat of your soul acting like you. And how do I know it's the ego? Because the ego will tell you something to do, and guess what? You're going to be right back there next week. 30 days, if that long, you're going to have the same problem. It's going to come right back. So every time the problem comes back and you fail, any problem, that's how you know that solution that was presented to you was by the ego. Because guess what? Yeah, God told the children, the enemy that you see today, you will see them no more. So I'm telling you, when God gives you a solution, the problem that you see today, you will see it no more. You just need to make sure you're talking to the right God. Now, there's a bunch of little gods out there that chirping in your ear, but you got to listen to that still small voice in your spirit that says and tells you what to do. So I write down on my intuition journal, my spiritual journal, I call it, this is my self-medication journal. So I take my medication every day. So I take my medication 5 times a day. How do I medicate myself? Let me talk about my relationship. So I've mistreated and abused my wife, cheated on my wife, lied, done all of this stuff numerous times. But babe, I love you. I'm going to take you back. Let me try one more time. I don't know why you love me, but you do. So I looked at her and I see her. I said, man, this is a beautiful woman. I'm fortunate. Why am I disrespecting her? Either I love her, treat her like freaking she's the only woman on earth, or I freaking pack my shizness and leave her alone. So get out the way so somebody else can come in here and do the job. Either I'm the man for the job or I'm not. So I ask God, God, am I the man for the job? The Bible, in the scripture, the Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. So, okay, I got God's approval. Because I'm not looking for a wife. I already freaking got one. So then that means something's wrong with me because I'm not violating scripture. So I need to see my wife for who she is. How come I can't see her? Because I'm not looking at her. How come I'm not looking at her? Because I'm freaking looking at myself. I'm not tuned in. I don't know what my wife's favorite color is. At least I didn't know. You know what I did this weekend? I just came back from vacation. What did I do a whole vacation? Watch my wife. Took her out to eat. Took her to the beach. I hate fishing. What did I do? Deep sea fishing trip for my wife. So I did stuff for my wife that my wife likes. Bump me in my feelings. I get enjoyment out of helping and supporting my wife. Then guess what happens? When I start giving to my wife starts being sensitive and starts giving to me. But I got to prime the pump first. I'm sitting here waiting for 8 years. I'm waiting for my wife to notice me. And my wife don't listen to my... Y'all hear me? I've been on this freaking bar talk. Go back to some of my old shows. I was over here dogging my wife. She don't listen to none of my shows. To get to the lady that I cheated with, why y'all think I cheated with her? Guess who was tuning in to all my shows? Guess who was calling me and chirping me at night, telling me, oh, Brother Will, your shows was great, brother. You're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Set up, hook, line, and sinker. But did I really get set up? Nah, bruh. You led astray by the lust of your own flesh. That's what I wanted to hear. I didn't want a wife. I wanted a freaking client. And that's who I had an affair with, was a freaking client. My wife does not do the things that my client does. And my wife does not do the things that my mama does. I wanted my mama to love me, but she freaking didn't. So I need to freaking get over it. I was expecting my wife to be my mother. She ain't. She's my wife. And until you get the difference correct in your head, brother, or until you get the difference correct in your head, sister, your husband is not your father. Now, you guys remember, I had this conversation with my wife. I told you, if you go back to my shows, I remember I told everybody when I asked my wife, when I came back, she says, I'm waiting to find a man to do and to treat me the way my father does. So she was looking for a father, and I was looking for a mother. We both sat down, and we both says, I told her, baby, I love you, but I'm not your father. And she told me, honey, I love you, but I'm not your mother, and I don't want to be your mother. And I told her, I don't want to be your father. I'm going to be your husband. So I had to diagnose it, and then now I got diagnosed it. What was the problem? I wanted a mother, and I wanted a client, not a wife. That's the diagnosis. So what's the medication? What do husbands do for their wives? Okay, they provide and they protect them. Okay, am I doing those things? No. So I got a daily journal, and I asked the big G, tell me what to do. Show me what to do. Show me how to love my wife, because I don't know. And so today I got up, I washed her car. I took it. I've never done this in the past. She pumped her own gas, put on some. I took her car and put gas in it. Tires was low. Hey, she put her own air on the tire. You know what I'm saying? That's her car. She got it. No, I'm going to do that. Normally we take turns driving on a long trip out of town, blah, blah, blah. No, I drove. Now I'm being a husband. That's my medication. That's how I heal myself. You heal yourself by doing things every freaking day. Write it down. Don't leave it a chance. Now, I just chose an arbitrary number 5. I don't care. It could be one thing a day. All I know is I dug a deep hole, so it's going to take more than one thing. Because why? Her emotional bank account is in a deficit. Because I emotionally bankrupt her by putting her through emotional shiznets that release cortisone in her body and damn near destroyed her spirit. So she's at choir practice right now, so I'm doing a show. As soon as the show's over, guess what my black behind going to do? I'm going to get off this show. I'm going to go to the store. And by the time she come home, I'm going to have dinner fixed. Then I'm going to run up some bath water. I'm going to take care of my wife. Why? Now, I don't give a damn what she does. I don't care if she's cheating with my brother. I don't care what. I don't care how she treats me. I don't care if she calls me out of my name. It's not about what she does for me, brother. This is my medication for me. This is how I heal myself. It has nothing to do with nobody else. And the only way you're going to get out of your hole is you stop walking around crying and worrying about what people are doing for you and freaking do something for somebody outside of yourself. Because that entity inside of you is saying me, myself, and I. That's why I know you're not authentic. Because if you are authentic, you don't care about what nobody else does for you. Because guess what? I'm going to vibrate on a frequency, and my wife is going to see what I'm doing, and she's going to fall in love with me, or she's going to fall. I'm going to elevate with me, or I'm going to elevate to another plane. And somebody else who sees my worth and my value, because now I see it. So I will treat every female that I'm spending my time with like they're the only female on planet Earth. I don't care what they do to me. Because, see, I pimped the game. Now I know it works. Because I did it in the area of health. Remember, you guys told me 30 pounds in 30 days. I've been doing it all my life. And God said, the same way you lose weight is the same way you make money. And it's the same way that you save your marriage. And it's the same way that you get wisdom and knowledge. The process is the same regardless of what department that you're in. What process? Well, I make a clear goal. I decide I'm going to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. I don't give a damn what I got to do it. Now, remember, the universe only responds to a mate of mine. What did I decide? I decide I'm going to be the provider and protector of my wife. I don't care. Now, remember, it has nothing to do with my wife. Brother, sister, it has nothing. You decide. Do you want to be married? Do you want to be in a relationship? Then you decide to be in one. Forget what your mate decide. That's their problem. God's working on you. You decide you want to make money? It ain't got nothing to do with the white man. It ain't got nothing to do with Obama. It ain't got nothing to do with Donald Trump. I don't give a damn who in office. The market is the same. Do you think that the stock market is concerned about who's the president? Do you think that universal law of giving and receiving and sowing and reaping only works if Donald Trump is the president? Do you think that the universe powers to a president? The God I serve, now, I don't know about the God y'all serve. The God I serve, he don't take orders from Donald Trump. He don't give a damn what the Russians are doing. He don't care about how many FEMA camps they built. He does not care how many chemtrails is in the air. He overrides all that bullshitness. Those are lower level entities. He's on another dimension. In fact, he says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. My ways are not like your ways. I highly recommend you get on his level. That's what I did. And so when I got on his level, he said, there's no such thing as poverty in my level. No such thing. He says, I just use poverty to get y'all fools' attention. It doesn't exist. In fact, poverty is not a thing. Poverty is the absence of a thing. But let me look it up. Poverty is not a substance. Poverty is the absence of a substance. So since poverty doesn't exist for God, it doesn't exist for me because I'm his offspring. I'm his son. I made him his image and his likeness. So I'm a joint heir. Whatever he got, I got. So since he ain't got poverty, I ain't got poverty. So if somebody comes up and tell me, hey, Brother Will, you know, you oh, no, I'm not. You got the wrong dude. I'm a royal priest. I'm a joint heir. I've been justified. I've been sanctified. I've been glorified. I've been set aside. So therefore, again, when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I don't fear no evil. God has not given me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So see, I know what God has given me. I know the word because I know God honors his word above his own name. So you can say his name. I'm going to say his word. So therefore, God wishes above all things that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. So therefore, as my soul prospers, so goes my health and my wealth. So yeah, I'm good, brother. So I highly recommend if you're not good, then that means that that entity or that disposition, that's not you. That's not authentic. That means the real you ain't came home yet because the real you doesn't believe what your creator has told you. Now, the fake you is the anti-God. He's the anti-you. He doesn't want you to be wealthy. He doesn't want you to be healthy. He doesn't want you to be wise. He doesn't want you to be in a great relationship. That's why you're not in one. That's why I know you're fake. The only way you can be poor is if you're fake. The only way you can be sick is if you're fake. The only way, now again, I already know people are going to be like, well, I don't know about that, brother. But again, all you got to do is understand what, just go into Google and type in frequency healing. Now, in the beginning was the word, a.k.a. spoken thought, a.k.a. frequency. So God is, again, at least he manifests himself as a frequency on this dimension. Whether he is a frequency or not, yeah, I don't know. Another study for another time. But all I know is this. In the beginning was the word. In fact, Genesis 1 says, God said, as in what I'm doing, let there be light. Bam, that was light. So therefore, I'm going to do what God did. God saw Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. So therefore, there's this thing called frequency healing that was developed by Royal Raymond Wright that the government don't want you to know about, that you can heal your own self with your own voice. No medication needed. Now let that marinate and then go to Google and type in frequency healing or type in Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, R-I-F-E. I've done many shows on that. Many shows. So there's nobody that should be new to this. So therefore, if you get your mind right, you get your money right. If you get your mind right, you get your health right. If you get your mind right, you get your wisdom right. And if you get your mind right, you get your relationships right. It's all about your mind. Because the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you bring about what you think about. So, brothers and sisters, let me make sure that you understand how to medicate yourself so you can heal yourself. Number one, to medicate yourself, you got to know. Now, don't believe. You got to know that you are wealthy, healthy, wise, and you're in a great relationship. I don't care what your reality says. What does your mentality say? Your mentality determines your reality. So right now you got the wrong mentality. That's how I know. How do I know? Because you have the wrong reality. So your bank account says zero. I don't give a beep what your bank account says. What does your mind say? Well, let me see. The Bible says, I've been young and I've been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. God said, look at the lilies of the field. They neither sow nor reap. I take care of them. How much more will I take care of you if you ask? The Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be healthy, even as my soul prospers. And we can go on and on and on. Therefore, I know. I don't believe. I know. I know that all I got to do is focus, discipline, and clarity. Focus, discipline, and order based upon clarity. So I have to be certain. I have to have clarity, crystal clear clarity. So that way I can bring about, again, the results that I want. That's knowing. Number one, you got to know. You can't believe. Believing is not good enough anymore. People used to be believers, and you just could believe in God. That's not good enough no more. The Bible says that the devils, they believe, they tremble, but they don't do nothing. You can be a believer, but, yeah, that don't do nothing. Not today. Not in 2017. You got to be a knower. So notice how I got my medication. I pulled up experiences that I know. I didn't use no vision board. I didn't put no picture of a Lamborghini on my wall like I did when I was 21. I went back and I did, what did I do? What have I done already? I went back and I got what I know. I know how to lose 30 pounds in 30 days because I've done it at least 15 times. I know it. I took my personal experiences. I know the house I'm living in right now, I bought with no money down and no credit. The car in my driveway I'm driving right now, I bought brand new off the freaking showroom floor with 0 miles on it, with no job and no money down. So I don't believe. I know. Some people tell me, well, brother, I don't know. Well, you need to find you something. What do you know? What experiences do you have? Write them down and read them, suckers. Number one, you better know that you know that you know. Belief ain't good enough. The demons and the devils, they believe. Now, once you know something, don't let nobody take from you what you know. Do you think somebody can come up and tell me, Brother Will, man, you don't know what you're talking about? Man, you can kiss my beep. That's my attitude now. Now, before, I was like, well, brother, you know, I don't know. I just kind of, you know, I kind of believe that this is what God has called me to do, brother. No, man, let somebody call it. Man, post some stuff on my Facebook page if you want to. Watch my righteous indignation come out. I know who I am, brother. I know. I have dunamis power. Like when Jesus came back after he was gone from 18 to 30, they said, as I've said on every show, and I'm going to keep saying, because you got to get what Jesus had. Isn't that the carpenter's son? Damn straight, that's the carpenter's son. Well, why is he speaking as one who has authority? And where did he get it? Jesus got his authority from his experiences from wherever he went and came back from the ages of 13. I mean, from the ages of 18, however he was, I think it was 18 he left. 30 he came back. And then from the age of 30 to 33, man, he was mowing down demons like there was no tomorrow. Why? He had dunamis power. And you got to get you some dunamis power. How do you get it? Go back through your experiences that you have succeeded in. Forget your failures. Everybody got failures, man. Everybody can talk about that, what they've done wrong. Tell me, don't tell me what you are against, brother. Don't tell me what you are against, sister. Tell me what you are for. Don't tell me what you're thinking about. Tell me what you're going to do. What am I going to do? After I get off the show, I'm going to go in the kitchen, and I'm going to do something. What am I going to do? I'm going to cook my wife dinner. Then I'm going to go ahead and put some freaking rose buds on the floor. I mean, some rose buds or whatever you call them, flowers on the floor. I'm going to run her bath water, rub her feet, and I'm going to take care of my wife. What you going to do, brother? What you going to do, sister? Don't tell me what you think. Tell me what you're going to do. That's dunamis power. Dunamis power takes what you know and then it applies action. Because faith without works is dead. I can sit on this show and I can blow smoke up everybody's butt and I can talk a good talk, but am I walking the walk? Ask yourself the question, brothers and sisters. Number one, no. And that knowing, again, should create this action. That is based upon what? Your intuition. Now, people tell me all the time, brother, I don't know what to do. As I said before, ask yourself questions and then listen to the first answer that pop in your head. Now, this is how I ask myself questions. I say, God, you said in your word, I only pray scriptures. Now, I don't recommend you do that because it works. Now, if you want results, don't pray your thoughts. Pray God's word. So I find scriptures that says, God, you say when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. This thing is not really good right now, so something is wrong. Maybe you don't got a wife. Or maybe you don't got a husband. Then you, the Bible says, but God, you said it is better to marry than to burn. So I need you to send somebody into my life or remove the scales off my eyes so I can see the person that's already in my life for what they are. That's what I had to pray. Because I didn't see no worth and no value in my wife. She wasn't listening to none of my shows. She wasn't, you know, freaking reading none of my books. I got 50 books. My wife ain't read none of them. You know, my wife, man, she wasn't following me around like no little groupie. She wasn't liking my stuff on Facebook. Man, bump her. So I went out and got me somebody else that was doing that. But then I looked in the Constitution, and that's what I was wanting my wife to do. Those are not wife duties. Those are hoochie duties. Those are side chick duties. Those are client duties. So did I want a wife or a side chick? So you might want to know, you might want to ask yourself, what do you want, brother? Because God going to give you exactly what you want. That's how the universe works. The universe gives you exactly what you want. So what you got in your life right now is exactly what you want. So I highly recommend, if you don't want that, that you order something else. Or change your vision of how you see what you got. Because if I'm a betting man, what you got is probably what you're supposed to have. You're just looking at it with the wrong lens. You want her to be your mama instead of your wife. You want him to be your father instead of your husband. Brothers and sisters, all you got to do is diagnose yourself, medicate yourself, and heal yourself. And all you do is by writing down what you know, believing that, and by developing so much righteous indignation and dunamis power, because you've read it 100 million times, so now you know that you're successful. You don't give a damn what nobody else thinks. You know that you're successful. So I don't need nobody else outside of me to validate me. So my wife doesn't listen to none of my stuff. I don't need her to listen to none of my stuff. I'll listen to it. And then if I don't know what to do, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask God. I'm not going to ask the reverend. I'm not going to ask the doctor or the bishop. I ain't going to even ask Master Teacher 33. I'm going to ask God. God, you made me. So I'm going to need you by the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me into all truth, because that's what you said you would do in your word. And you said you would honor your word above your own name. So are you God or not? I'm just wondering, because that's what you said. You know, I'm just, you know, I don't want to call you out, God, but you did say that you was going to lead me and guide me into all truth. Did you not? You did say, God, that you honor your word. I'm reading right out your word. You honor your word above your own name. You said that I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. I feel forsaken, and I'm about to get ready to beg for some bread. So you said that that's not going to happen. Are you really God or not? You know, because if you're not God, I know this dude over here named Lucifer. He take care of his people pretty good, at least while they're here. Now, that's how I pray. I don't recommend y'all pray like that, though. Because, see, when I pray, I get results. Because I come boldly to the throne of God. I come boldly. I don't come with this, now I lay me down on the street, sleep, I pray my Lord to keep. That's bullshit. I don't pray like that, man. I don't pray like that. I don't pray to God. I pray as God. And I, like I've said on 1,000 shows, when God prays, who does he pray to and how does he pray? Whatever the answer to that question is, that's what you should do. Because that's how you get results. And let me get out this phone because I'm getting excited. Y'all know I get a little, you know, pumped up because I actually believe in what I'm doing. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God, the real God, loves you, and he appreciates you. He doesn't make junk. You are a royal priest. You are the apples of God's. You're the apple of God's eye. Walk and carry yourself the way that God sees you, not the way that you see you. God sees you as his son, his daughter. His Psalms 82, verse 6. 10 times. Read it, please. Read Psalms 82, verse 6. Read Psalms 82, verse 6. At least 10 times tonight. That's your homework. Brothers and sisters, I love you. Everybody that's a part of the Clarinomics Club, we'll be back at it, not tomorrow, but on Monday. Thank you guys so much for giving me this time to spend with my family for the vacation, but I'm back. And I feel invigorated. And we're about to blow some cookies. Brothers and sisters, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo, speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.